I'm in part two on the human condition, and today I want to talk to you about your frame of mind and what the Bible has to say on receiving and living in a blessed frame of mind. Do you know your mental state's pretty important, right? I'm sure you've all had a bad mental day, right? And I'm sure you've also had a great day when you feel like you're conquering everything. Well, are we the victims of who we are, or can we be victorious and become who God called us to be? Is this something we have to live with, or is it something God wants to transform? And there's a lot in the Bible about that, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time navigating that. I'm not going to keep an eye on my phone, so our production team and online, no, I'm not meaning about time. I'm meaning if all the connections are good, I'm a preach. You guys okay with that? So I'm managing all these different things. I wanted to thank everybody who helped us by leading in worship and serving on the worship teams at all our gatherings, and especially Nick here in Cape Town every time we gather. Would you please thank those who serve us? Awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. I'm going to read it from the Message translation, although it's like the gospel light version of the Bible. It's got some words in it that's really awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 says this: your heart's been in the right place all along. Pause for a moment. How many of you have met someone who's done something silly, but you've said, but their heart's in the right place? How many of you met someone who's done something silly and you've said to yourself, but they're well-meaning? You know, what you mean is, they're such nice people. They just did a silly thing. Well, in a way, Paul wants to address that. So he says, you've got what it takes to finish it up. So go to it. Now watch the language. Once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. The heart regulates the hands. We could unpack that passage of scripture the whole morning, because what he's saying is you've frozen in your action for a few reasons. Maybe you've frozen because your exact commitment isn't clear. I don't believe people are generally lazy. I think people lack generally clarity. As soon as you clear, the laziness spirit falls away and you step out in faith. But when you're not sure, you've got no energy to back up your uncertainty. Your body, you see Sunny in the house. I'm not suggesting that's a characteristic of her personality. That is her actual name, is Sunny. And how apt is that? We know each other from Port Elizabeth. But the truth is, I don't think anybody is too broken to be able to move forward. But people become too uncertain to move forward. And there's nothing worse than pausing, not knowing what to do, and after a while, your status quo in life is just waiting. Doing nothing but waiting. And Paul's addressing this. He says, when the commitment is clear. And then the second thing he addresses, and I'm going to unpack this in the whole course of the message, but the second thing he unpacks is, you do what you can, not what you can't. Yeah. Let me tell you, one of the most frustrating things about life is if you start saying to yourself, well, I can't afford that, or I can't do that, or I can't find another time for that, or when you keep saying can't, you'll never get to the can't. And this is something really powerful. Paul says, stop talking about what you can't do and start talking about what you can do. And there's something about this that he says, when you get those two things in your heart, you're clear about your future and you talk a can do, not a can't do mindset, then the heart regulates the hands. Do you know, I've learned over the years that what people say is not a certain commitment. It's what they believe in their heart that is a certain commitment. I've said a lot of things I didn't mean at various stages of my life. I know that sounds awful. You suddenly got cold there. I could feel it in the room. I've said lots of things. I've said them to myself. Today, I will start a diet. My heart wasn't in it, but the words were there. You know, on Monday, I'm banting. On Tuesday, I'm Italian. And so, you know, you get that kind of thing. But here's the thing. The only action you ever take is something you believe in your heart. And so the question is, what's in your heart and what's the condition of your heart? All of us at some point have had some break or heartbreak. All of us at some point have had some injury, uncertainty, disappointment, or letdown. And if you're only acting out of your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, you might have a problem. How do we mend a broken heart? I mean, millions of songs have been written about that, right? Some people think they mend their broken heart by forgetting that their heart's sore. Some people think they mend their broken heart by finding someone else who isn't broken to carry them. But the Bible teaches us some very powerful things here, that your heart sometimes needs to be healed spiritually so that you can live out God's life practically. Let me tell you one or two stories about that are really powerful. Please don't judge me for some of what I'm going to say, right? If you have a negative experience with something, you might write off that entire category and not know there could be great joy there too, right? For example, you might prefer one type of car against another. You might even decide everyone who drives that kind of car are horrible people. You've just reached the conclusion. Maybe somebody cut in on you, or somebody backed up against you, or took your parking back. You've decided all such and such drivers are so and so. Just insert your own name there. I know what some of you are thinking there. Quite a few of you, BMW, have been inserted. A few of you, ID, have been inserted. A few of you, I know, that's your view until you can buy one. And then you're like, everyone else must cooperate. But then on matters that are more serious, you might have had a relationship with somebody and that relationship ended badly, and you might have concluded, I'm not cut out for relationships. That would be a writing on your heart that is not biblical, not sound, not healthy, but you will act out of what's in your heart. And you will tell your friends, I'd love to be in a relationship, but your heart will say something else. When somebody comes into your life, your words will disappear and your heart will put up a wall, because there's something in your heart that's getting in the way of heaven's destiny for you. Remember where we started up? We said, talk about what you can, not what you can't. So this is the part I said, please don't judge me. And years ago, I mean, I'm really going back years and years. I was in my 20s, about 6 or 7 years ago. And forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. But you know, the Bible does say that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years. So I feel I play in that gray area of age. But years ago, a family in our church invited me for dinner. And after dinner, they said, we'd like to take you shopping, which I think is a wonderful gift. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful. I was a student pastor at the time and looking after my congregation at the university. They said, come, we'd like to take you shopping. So we went to some clothing shopping. I didn't realize until later that my dress code was so bad that they felt the best thing they could do for Jesus for the sake of the gospel is to take this guy shopping. I bought everything 2 sizes bigger, thinking I might grow into them at some point. I was well into my 30s by then, so that I had baggy suits and giant shoes. And they took me shopping one day, and they took me to places I'd never been before in my life. Places with logos. And I saw the prices of some of those shirts, and I thought, it's not right, this thing that's happening here. Who pays 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 rand for a shirt or a pair of jeans? I can feel the anxiety level rising in the room right now. I felt so uncomfortable about it that I felt it seemed wrong. They said, we're going to buy that, and we're going to buy that, and we're going to buy that. And I was kitted out with what looked like unnecessary amounts of logos. It was very uncomfortable for me. We got in the car and they prayed a prayer and they said, we're worried about you. We're worried that living your life amongst students, you don't remember there's more life after that. And you won't know how to lead those students out of one season into the next if you don't promote from one season to the next. And you have to... You have to grow up. It's right. I don't want to use brand names. I'm so scared of that right now. But it's right that for a season in your life, all you buy is from Cotton On or H&M or Mr. Price, whatever. That's appropriate. But it shouldn't feel guilty to step to the next season and the next season and the next season. And the only thing that might limit you is not the opportunity, but that in your heart you fear it. And some people would be blessed with a relationship, a contract, an opportunity, an open door, but you're so scared of it. You're scared you'll mess it up. You're scared it'll change you. You're scared it'll say something about you or your friends will judge you, that you're walking away from your opportunity because of the fear you have in your heart for what God has in mind for your future. And do you know, that is not okay. That is not okay. One of the most powerful things I heard, one of my favorite preachers, and he's not everybody's taste, T.D. Jakes. Yeah, he's not everybody's taste, but let me tell you, if I'm lacking a bit of fire, I just turn him on, and I'm on fire the rest of the month. But one of the things he said is he got judged by his community. If you don't know T.D. Jakes, he's an incredible African-American bishop, preaches in Dallas, Texas, a church called Potter's House. And he said he got judged by his friends because as God blessed and promoted him, he got a better house in a better neighborhood. And then as time went by, another better house in a better neighborhood. And his friends would say, hey, you're just leaving us behind. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave you behind, but I'm definitely not going to stay here with you. I'm going to move forward, and then from there, I'll pray you up, and I'll pull you up, and I'll move you forward. You can't feel guilty about God's promotion in your life. And Paul is expressing this in Corinthians. He's worried that their heart, their frame of mind is damaged, broken. The human condition is frail. People let you down. Your own plan, you let yourself down. Come on. You know that. You let yourself down. You've said, I'm going to start a prayer plan every morning. I'll wake up and pray. You know you said that sometime in the 2019. And you're still getting to it. I know that. It doesn't mean, though, that my frailty should prevent my faith from flourishing. It's important that we can handle that. And so today, I want to express to you how God edits your heart, so that you're not living under the burden of your injuries and your uncertainties, your fears, your failures, how God edits your heart. A few years ago, I had a 4x4 vehicle. I didn't pay what it was worth because somebody set me up with it. But I remember one day stopping in Gqeberha, Port Elizabeth. Please don't email me. I'm saying everything in Gqeberha, Port Elizabeth, GQ/Mandela Bay, Eastern Cape, South Africa. I had stopped at a traffic light and a man next to me, some of you know the story, he jumped out the car. I thought, I'm in trouble. A crime is about to happen here. And he came over and he shook my hand and he said, aren't you a pastor? I said, yes, I am a pastor. He said, lay hands on me so I can also be blessed. I said, what makes you think I'm blessed? He said, well, you look like you've got a nice car. I laid hands on him and prayed for him. I said, Lord, bless you and get you back in your car and let me move on with my day in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes we think a blessing, to be blessed, is going to break you. And sometimes we think being broken is somehow humble and honorable and lovely. Let me tell you that being broken is not God's plan to make you spiritual. Being whole is God's plan to make you spiritual. God doesn't keep us broken, so we need him. God heals us, so we choose to follow him. We follow out of wholeness, not out of brokenness. It's such a big deal. Christianity can't just be a crutch for the broken. It can when you're broken, but it is the balm of Gilead that heals the brokenhearted, so that he at some point will say, take up your bed and follow me. You're not lying here any longer. That's enough. Amen. So the first idea, I'd like to take you through a couple of ideas in Scripture, three of them, on how God mends your heart. So you welcome walking in new seasons. Do you remember in the Old Testament, some of you may know this, but Deuteronomy chapter 6 reminds us how the Jewish nation remembered the law. Look what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and your strength, your entire being. These words, God's words, which I command you today, shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truth. And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house and you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Do you know, you have to transfer into your heart and into your mind the precepts and principles of God. And they have to penetrate your heart and mind. They have to penetrate. They can't just stay in the vicinity. They've actually got to penetrate your heart and mind. In fact, in Jewish custom, the deeply religious Jewish priests would put the law of God on a little box, and they'd put it on the doorpost of their house. They'd put it on an arm. They'd even put it on their forehead. If you've seen pictures of traveled to Israel and seen it, it was a symbolic expression of the idea that God's law must soak into my heart so that I am healed by it. You know, that idea is really powerful. I wish we would spend more time, even at home, telling one another about the goodness of God, because we spend a lot of time telling one another about the badness of the world. And when you do that, fear settles in your heart. I'm almost at a point of frustration at how much fear and anxiety people have about the future. I get it that the virus is an awful thing. Our own family suffered a loss. But I'm not going to allow the coronavirus to take my dad's life suddenly and my life slowly. I don't intend to do that. I intend to get out. I intend to move around more. I intend to do what God's called me to do. I can't live in fear of something that has been written on my heart. A sadness was written there, but it's not going to set the tone for the rest of my life. God wrote more words on my heart, and they're words of faith and encouragement and exhortation. And you've got to step out into those things. Another businessman in our church many years ago, when we first started Father's House, finished at the university, got to Father's House, he said, once a year, travel somewhere. Put it in the budget. Put some money aside. Go. If you can, go overseas. Go see big churches. Go see new programs. Go see outreach and soup kitchens and feeding schemes. Don't limit your exposure to what your own eyes have seen. You've got to see and hear more. I'm so glad for that advice. On the few occasions I've had the time to do that, it blows my mind what other possibilities are out there. That if all you see is what you see, you might not see what he sees. Do you know, have you noticed how often in the Bible God moved people around? He told Abram, move. He said to Moses, move. He told the children of Israel, get across the Red Sea. He told the children of God, get past the Jordan River. Every one of us has to move on forward. Not geographically. This is not a word from the Lord for you to move houses today. But mentally, you've got to move on mentally. You've got to move on mentally. So you had a bad relationship. Okay, put a full stop at the end of that chapter and move on into a new season. Who knows what excitement the next chapter holds on. You know, being mature isn't just growing up emotionally. It's also knowing I'm done with that now. My period of mourning is over. My sadness is over. My situation, and I'm stepping into a new thing. You can't just write letters of brokenness and then sit and read them year in and year out and year in. You have to step out in faith. So, three things in the time I have with you on how God edits our hearts. And by the way, on every site, I've invited our pastors and our ministry team to prepare to pray for you after the service. Now, I know it's a little harder during COVID, but it is not impossible because I'm doing what I can do, not what I can't do. That's what we've decided we'll do. We'll stand to the side and pray for you that way. We'll keep a mask on. But what I don't want is for a year to go by or 2 years to go by and people have not been prayed for and pulled out of the pits they find themselves in, that we leave you there, because the only medical conditions aren't only physical. Yeah. There are conditions people get into emotionally and spiritually, and it's how God does things. It's how God does things. And so I hope you're preparing for that. The first thing I want to talk to you about is, what script are you following? Do you know, we all follow a script. I remember not so long ago waking up, looking at my actions one day and thinking, I'm starting to sound and behave just like my father. Have you ever had that moment? Some of you are going to laugh now because I've used this example before. I don't know why it is. For me personally, I find chewing noises very frustrating. Can I have an amen everywhere if you support me? Some people, chewing is part of the joy. Their food must be heard and tasted. Now, I don't want to watch the biodegrading taking place in your mouth. I feel that is why Jesus said it must go to the stomach and there, quietly, things must happen. But my father used to quite like keeping a toothpick in his mouth, and he could move it around back and forth between his teeth, making whistling and sucking noises. And I just thought, Jesus, take the wheel. I thought, people from the villages, you know. And the other day, quite absent-mindedly, I also had a toothpick in my mouth. And a young person driving in the car with me said, would you like me to throw that away now? Which is just a nice way of saying, are we done with this thing that should happen in a bathroom somewhere where nobody sees? Do you know how much of your life is scripted? The question is, by whom? Do you know how many partners or spouses change the script of somebody's life? Which is why you should choose wisely. They're writing chapters in your book. And if you don't like how it reads, you can't let them in. And I've realized we're wired a certain way. And so we do certain things. Then we learn certain things. So that adds to our script. We grow up among certain people doing certain things. That adds to our script. But what if I told you all of that could be minimized? And a new script written in heaven before you were born, the Bible says. A script was written. And if you follow the heavenly script written in your heart, you would live at peace in every season of your life. And not only that, you would feel the momentum of God in your life. What if the script you're following is not the one God intended? What if there's a greater script? And if you just hit pause for a moment and say, I surrender, you might just get the script God's written, planted in your heart. Have a look at what 1 Corinthians 2:8-10 says. I've used the Amplified this time. Things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which has not even yet entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefit that he bestows. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently and sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. Do you know, there's things you know, things you can learn, and then things you receive from the Holy Spirit. There are different levels of knowledge. There's knowledge because I've had personal experience. That's one level of knowledge. Second level of knowledge is I've seen it. I've never built it, but I've seen it. Knowledge. Then there's another. Your eye hasn't seen it. Your ear hasn't heard it. Your hands haven't handled it. But the Holy Spirit put it in your heart. It's the highest level of information exchange, and it's called revelation. And you should live your life on heaven's script in your heart, not on your own. Do you know, on my best day, I couldn't think up the things that God has prepared for me. I'm limited by my background, my knowledge, my experience, my language, my skin color, the environment in which I grew up. All of those are limitations and benefits. But there is a better benefit. I am a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. In that space, I am unlimited in my background, my age, my gender, my skin color, my environment, and my education. None of those things are restrictions. I have an unlimited possibility because God is writing something in my heart. The second idea I want to share with you concerning keeping your heart whole is that you have to give God permission to do edits in your heart. Edits are really powerful. It means to change the emotional response to a memory, an edit. See, sometimes when I meet someone and I tell them I'm a pastor, sometimes that's a good thing. People are encouraged, they want to ask questions. Sometimes it's a sad thing. Usually you'll hear something like, I was part of a church once. You won't believe what that guy did, the pastor, they mean. He was a lunatic, they say. Not of me or anyone you know, just a story. But their hearts beat because although it was 5 years ago, they still got an emotion connected to the memory, and it's preventing them from exploring the possibility of another alternative walk because their emotions are there. Beats really fast. Or maybe you stepped out in business at the right time, but it was the wrong idea or the wrong business at the right time, and you got burnt. And you think, I'll never do that again. But what if God could edit the emotion so that you don't feel like a failure, but rather feel that season was an education? I'm smarter now than I was when I first stepped out. I won't make that mistake again, but I won't stop making things again. Sometimes God has to edit something in our hearts, not by taking the memory away. I don't believe in that. That's weird. I don't want to have a faith that numbs me to my reality. I think that's weird. But I want to have the strength to think of it and draw power from it, not drain power because of it. I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out in faith and it was terrible. Wrong place, wrong season, wrong something. I'm so grateful God used it to strengthen me, and I didn't allow it to become a boundary in my life. You've got to step out in faith that way. Look at what Jeremiah 17 says, how our hearts work. That sin, the sin of Judah, is written down with an iron stylus. With a diamond point, it is engraved upon the tablets of your heart. You know, what do you do when something's in so deep, you think it can never come out? I'll tell you what you do. You let the Holy Spirit come and change the wording on the final sentence. Just change the wording on the final sentence. I'll give you an example. Paul the Apostle was on his way to Jerusalem, book of Acts. Everywhere he went, people said, they're going to arrest you there. You might die there. And you know what Paul said? He said, well, none of these things move me because I put my trust in God. Whatever's coming is meant to be. I'm going to believe in him. Think if you could add that final sentence to some of your memories. That relationship ended, but it's not going to move me from the journey God has intended for me. I sowed financially into the church, but my business didn't work out as I'd planned. But none of those things are going to move me from from the direction that God has for me. It's not in this season, but it'll come around in the next. It's the sowing season, but the harvest season in due season, it's going to come. I can't freeze every time. I'll rather have faith at the end of every sentence. Years ago, no, I'm talking about years ago all the time. The other day, when we were first preaching at a university, lots of people would say, students don't go to church. They want to have a fun time. They want to enjoy themselves. The last thing they want to do is get to church. But I had in my heart that God had said something. So I had to end every conversation like that with a phrase. But none of these things move me. You've got to be immovable, the Bible says, unshakable, always abounding in the word of truth. And you've got to keep at it. And then finally, you have to let God add. I've called it add it, although there isn't really a word like that, just sort of making it up. You have to let God add some language to your life. You have to allow the Lord to give you powerful words to complement or supplement broken words. Galatians 1:11 says, "For I want you to know, believers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. It is not a human invention patterned after any human concept." Oh, I like that so much. You know what you're looking for to live on is not a human concept. It's a heavenly concept. Heavenly concepts are difficult to explain in human words. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain in human words that the best way to be a leader is to serve. I mean, people look at that and they go, well, I don't know how that would work. But it's a heavenly concept. When it's applied in human world, you get heavenly results. It's hard for people to understand why you would, in human words, raise your hands and that somehow will change the atmosphere of your life. But I'm just telling you that when I lift up my hands and surrender to God and in thanksgiving and worship, I don't understand the biology of it, but I know the spiritual side of it. The biology makes little sense, but the spiritual, the heavenly concept makes huge difference. If I want a biological explanation to things, then I must say, I can't help myself. I am the product of my experiences and my human nature. It can't be helped. But when I want a heavenly experience, I lift up my biology to the Lord and I say, Lord, you are supreme over all. None of these things move me. My faith is in you. My faith is in you. I know that we're all still growing and evolving as humans. Sure. But I want for us to grow and evolve into the human being God has in mind. That's the thing. I want to evolve as a human being to be a spiritual person, not just the best human version of myself. This idea of the human condition bothers me a bit, I guess, because I think we blame. Maybe that's the wrong word. Because I think we limit our life experience based on our humanity instead of realizing God has a field wider than our humanity. It is His supremacy. It's bigger. It's bigger. So I want to encourage you today, when we navigate through the story of the human condition punctuated by the supernatural impartation, the presence of God. I don't want you to be less human, but more. It's just you're going to be more who God intended you to be rather than leaving the final say to an author unknown. Let me close with this idea. And I guess I can say this as a Greek, right? When Paul went to a place in Greece, in the book of Acts, he arrived at a place called Mars's Hill, right? lots of different gods there. The Greeks were so worried that they would forget one of the gods that they added another altar and said to the unknown god, just in case. And the idea was if they found him, they'd quickly put his name there. And they'd say, no, we always had, we always. It bothers me that we might live in a world in which all of us are the product of an unknown god. The product of a television series, the product of a bad relationship, the product of a type of education, the product of an environment, and you don't even know it. I don't want to be the product of those things. I want to be the product of a known Lord and Savior. I want to be the product of Jesus Christ's very own hand written in my heart. I want to know my author and perfecter, Jesus Christ. I won't settle for some unknown result because of an unknown author. That I won't do. And he is the author and perfecter of your faith. He keeps writing. That language, author and finisher, is huge. Read what he's written about you, for you, and in you. And then figure out how to live. Because remember, the heart regulates the hands. You're not doing righteous because your heart isn't written righteous. Can't do it the other way. You could never tell someone, hey, be more righteous, and their heart is far from God. You get your heart there, ah, the hands respond. Can you say amen to that, everybody? So wherever you're listening, online, Kingfisher FM on radio, or in our gatherings, I'm going to invite us all to stand in a moment. Then we'll pray, and then I'll leave your side pastors to navigate how each service will end. Online, as soon as I've prayed, I'll say goodbye to you, and we'll carry on praying in our gatherings. Would you please stand with me, everybody? All of a sudden, everybody is a bit taller than me. thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your words, truth to us today. Thank you that you have written in our hearts new language. You've placed the script recorded before we were born. Today, we make a commitment to align ourselves with heaven's script for our lives. Teach us not to end each chapter in brokenness, but to turn it around into wholeness. Help us recognize that our hands respond to our heart's instructions. Teach us that when the vision and the intention is clear, it unlocks what we need to do. Help us do what we can and not just talk about what we can't. Help us figure that out so that our human condition is redeemed, saved, renewed. Just as we remain in this attitude for a moment, if you're listening online at Kingfisher FM or in one of our gatherings and you don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't yet say he's the author, he started writing a new life for you. I need to invite you an opportunity to make that commitment. So wherever you are, it's time for you to let Jesus become the author, savior, initiator of your life. We'd love to pray with you. I'm just going to pray a prayer. You repeat it in your heart. And then in the comments or chat section, there's a link you can follow. And we'll help you along your journey, send you any information you need for your spiritual journey. And I'll just pray it. You don't need to pray it. I'll just pray it and you follow in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for opening my eyes to recognize there's more than what I can see. And more than what I can hear, there's a spiritual world, and it's significant. I've been far from you, sinning my own way through life. Please forgive me. I invite you to be author, Lord, and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.